Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Today's guest is Commissioner Callie Robinson. Commissioner Robinson serves District 2, which is Douglas County, Georgia. The counties are, and I hope I pronounced them right, Lithia Springs, Deer Lick, Boundary Waters, I believe, Chestnut Log, Factory Shoals, Old Colonial, as well as Sweetwater State Parks areas. Good afternoon, Commissioner Callie Robinson.
Good afternoon, Ms. Butler. How are you today?
I am good today.
Good.
Thank you for agreeing to come on the show. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you for inviting.
You're more than welcome. Commissioner Robinson, you are in your second term, am I correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay. What year did you first become the commissioner of Douglas County?
Really, it started back in 2008 was my first term, and I got reelected again last year. So we in Douglas County, we serve a four-year term.
Okay. You became a commissioner when things were in perhaps the beginning of the recession. In your first term, what were some of your goals that you achieved that helped you be elected to a second term in Douglas County?
You know, that's an interesting story, and you're right. In 2008, the entire, United States was at the beginning of its recession. You know, that was back when Lehman Brothers, one of the big investment banks, got in trouble. That's when Fannie and Freddie were gotten in trouble for the most part. And so it was at a time where we're at such a transition, and we were in the middle of, obviously, a presidential cycle. And I was on that same ticket. And one of the key things coming into office was it was all about economic development. I mean, the housing market was collapsing. So everything had to focus on whatever I was going to advance. It had to get into what I want to call economic recovery, coming up with programs and solutions that allow people to get back on their feet. Those people who either lost their jobs or were losing their job at that time or were losing their homes, and helping them recover. The second thing beyond economic development was, in our county, it was important to give accountability to the public. And what we mean by accountability is to hold my peers, my other elected officials, accountable. One of the roles of a board of commissioners is to be all things related to money. We're basically Congress at a local level. And so it was important for me to make sure that we were holding those individuals who currently were wielding the power over the citizens, making sure they were, not above the law. And probably the last thing that I think is probably the most important was I gave a voice to people who hadn't had a voice for 150 years. And that was key, okay, because primarily that particular Douglas County was one party for many, many, many centuries. I mean, excuse me, decades. But that being said, it was important to now begin to shift and give, a different voice to a different group of people.
Yes. And I believe that group of people are Black Americans.
And again, you know, if you think about it, you know, the minority were underrepresented in our county for many years. But there's also other segments. There was sort of a religious void of being expressed and being covered. There were people in our county, we have no social programs, none in our budget.
No social programs?
No social programs, all right? So we've got a big, giant million-dollar budget, but we have very limited things for people who are blind. I mean, gee, I've got glaucoma, which is obviously hereditary in our culture. And so, you know, there was, you know, we have no public transportation. And so there were some things that were lacking that I think that needed to be voice be made for.
So did you ever get public transportation?
It's a work in process. As you know, public transportation is very expensive. It is something that is on the table that we're currently working through. We do have some degree of transportation that goes to key work centers. And these are like single stop over into what would be considered Atlanta. We are a suburb, probably about 20 miles outside of Atlanta, or 20 minutes for the most part, but for easy state. But that means the people even, you know, getting to work, but also you need to be able to move around within your own county. I mean, for the most part, everyone doesn't have transportation or reliable transportation. But yet we're being taxed. But yet the thing that I really need, which is I need to be able to go make money, it would be advantage. You know, it would be to my benefit if I had alternative means of transportation just to make sure I made it to work.
Yes. Yes, because cars tear up too. Vehicles tear up.
That's right.
And people need to get to work still. Now, that's like the county I live in. I'm not going to say which county, but there's only like Medicaid and Medicare transportation here and some transportation to take you to the stores and things if you have maybe, let's say, $3 or $4. And there's the transportation that will take you like to the beach, Panama City Beach in Florida for like maybe $20. So, yeah, that's kind of high, though, $20 is for one person, if you think about it, and with the way things were, but even though things are improving, still, you know.
You know, and the funny thing is, you know, there are programs for the elderly, right, when they have to get to their, to your, you know, maybe point, getting to doctors' visits.
And disabled people, yes, but not for
people.
Right. It's unfair.
It's unfair, but the interesting is even the programs that are in place, they're being cut. And that's not, I mean, those programs are already so underfunded, and now you want to cut further. That's just symbolism. It's not like you're saving a lot of money, but you're showing that you're cutting. And I think that's the injustice that sometimes happens in politics, is we really don't advocate where we should, and we really don't address where we should. We sort of, you know, pick on the little person, and we support the big person.
Yes. Okay. All right. I agree with everything you said. Before politics, what was your career?
Well, you know, my career prior to politics was a banker. I spent, you know, up until that time, I was probably in 15th, 16th year of being a banker. I was a senior vice president at one of the large banks in the south, sort of the eastern, southeastern region of the United States. I also spent some degree of time as a consultant. So I had the honor and the privilege to go to Japan, go to England, go to Spain and work. So I had a rich experience, even though I came out of humble beginnings.
Okay. All right. Yes, and you're very successful and you're very knowledgeable, as my listeners are going to find out as the interview goes on. You're very intelligent, too. Why did you decide to run for office?
You know, that's always an interesting – I always get that question, but it's probably not what most people think is the typical career path into politics. As I stated, I pretty much had spent, you know, a lot of years in corporate America. I was just that guy. And, you know, for the most part, you know, dedicated family man, whatever the case may be, up until that period of time. So in 08, I was probably in my 16th year, and my marriage ended. And I don't, you know, profess, you know, sort of divorce is the right thing, but life happens. And so here I am, you know, I've got two sons, but it was one of those where now what do I do with the rest of my life? And it was one of those where I met an individual, and we were just talking. And she was asking me about what I did and so forth, and she asked me, you know, hey, would you ever consider running for office? I said, you know, I only plan to run to the bank. There's no way you're going to get me into politics. I have no interest in it. And so it was just a chit-chat. I mean, really, it was just a chit-chat conversation. And then she calls me back a week later, and she says, you really need to consider running. There's a seat that's potentially coming open in your district, and you need to consider it. Well, the key thing is that had I not gone through the divorce I went through, I would not have been in the district that became open. You know, sometimes things work out the way they do. So within that week's period, within that week, I talked to my pastor, I talked to my mom and dad, and, you know, I talked to people that were meaningful in my life. Says, okay, I'm about to put my life on blast. Are y'all all comfortable? And everybody seemed to be very supportive of it. Even the rent, you know, they pretty much were like, run, Kelly, run, like Forrest. And I stepped out there by faith, and the rest was history, and I won.
You won. Yes, and Douglas County has a great county commissioner in District 2. Do you believe that your past career choices are beneficial to the residents of Douglas County?
It really does. And the reason I say that is, you know, I had experience as a banker and as a consultant. So that means I can count, and I have a strategic viewpoint. But that's important, because as an elected official, you want to make sure, or at least as a board of commissioner, you want to make sure that this person has a comprehension of money, since we're supposed no more than you want your DA to understand the law, right, as an elected official.
Yes.
And so I say that to say that it boded well. The question but that background was just for me to be considered. I still had to advance a campaign that the people agreed with, right? In other words, it was my minimal service to be able to count and to be able to do the things that qualified me. But to get the people to vote, I had to connect with them, Angela. I mean, and, you know, it's one of those where I beat someone who was the mayor for 26 years and somebody who was on the commission for a couple of terms. So it was, you know, this is one of their big horses. And it was one of those where it wasn't enough of a minority concentration as a strategy. I had to be a crossover in order to win this. And so that means that I had to be appealing to a broader base of people.
To everybody, really.
That's right. That's right.
Yes. That's right. Okay. And that is great. It's great that you were elected. I mean, I've read some of the things that you've done. I've seen the video on your website with the lady speaking. I don't remember her name, but you did some very good things. I don't live in Georgia or Douglas County, but I know some of the things that you did, and it's very beneficial to Douglas County. Okay.
Thank you.
Are you the CEO of Archie May?
I am. I currently serve working for a company called Archie May, and we typically focus on housing, you know, recovery type of programs. I mean, it sort of sounds like Fannie Mae, so we're in that same space. We educate the public, and we try to find housing solutions for them from a finance perspective.
Okay. All right. Okay, we're going to take a break. Commissioner Kelly Robertson, we're going to take a break. I'm going to give you time to rest your mouth, and I'll give you time to collect your thoughts. And listeners, just keep right on listening, because you're in for a treat, and we're going to come back and finish the interview and everything after these commercials.
A special event can be very challenging and stressful at times. Our staff of professionals organizes your event down to every last detail, no matter what size. Our creativity and attention to detail turns your ordinary party into an extraordinary event. And Decline provides world-class service. We coordinate quality events. We can provide travel arrangements, accommodations, event sites, caterers, florists, photographers, transportation, hairstylists and makeup artists, daily itineraries, and pre-event information such as detailed maps, save-the-date cards, and invitations. Being a custom event planner means that we cater to you. It is our job to find the best possible way to present your event. We have been referred to as Green Weavers.
Exquisite Express Incorporated specializes in designing signature solutions to help attract more business. Their creative designs through their associate company, Exquisite Designs, give everyday people insight on the latest fashion, food specialties, technology gadgets, and entertainment. Exquisite Designs also provide barista services through Exquisite Barista. You can read all about what they are doing in their digital and print magazine, Exquisite Fusion. Feel free to give us a call, 1-855-379-2540, 1-855-379-2540.
When you're searching for the latest news on entertainment, the economy, business, technology, and creative arts, choose
the Digital Conglomerate Magazine.
Not only do they give you all the latest information, but they're there for you 24/7, baby, giving you the 411 and all you need to know, baby. Visit the Digital Conglomerate Magazine online. Just Google us, baby. We're everywhere.
All right, listeners, you've been listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. The guest today is Commissioner Kelly Robinson. He is from District 2 in Georgia, which is Douglas County. Okay, let's go back to the interview. Commissioner Robinson, what is your primary focus for Douglas County in District 2 in your second term?
You know, it's one of those that I'm going to answer it this way, which is, you know, in politics, it just takes time to change. And if you think about it, the nation is still recovering from an economic development perspective.
Yes.
Right? I mean, jobs, housing is beginning to restabilize, meaning home
yes.
prices are beginning to go up and people are beginning to find jobs. Economic development is still key here. In other words, what we learned through this whole process is that corporate America dropped a couple of sizes in its weight. In other words, there was a lot of people displaced.
Okay.
They're not going to put those pants and dresses back on like they used to, you know, they're not getting back in them. So what happens to all these people that were displaced or on the sidelines? Well, they've got to retool themselves either through education or, you know, have, you know, other streams of income. And so one of the things I'm focusing on is what's called an incubator program. And what we're talking
okay.
about is a commitment that says that gets people empowered for themselves. In other words, everybody has a gift, a talent, or even a hobby for that matter that can be monetized. In other words, you can make money on it. And so we
yes.
have to open people's eyes up to say, okay, and I got this lesson from one of my old bosses. And I had some great bosses along the way, and they were primarily all females, you know.
All right.
But she told me that sometimes, as opposed to waiting for a job to show up, you got to go out and create it sometimes.
Yes.
And so I think
that
that's something that bodes well today, which is, okay, you know, it may be dry wherever you are, you still are the gift. You are the talent that companies need. Well, create your own. I mean, you still have value. And so I'm focusing on that right now. We're getting a lot of momentum here in our county relating to that, and hopefully over the next 2 or 3 years we'll see more fruit regarding that effort.
So are you talking about small businesses, entrepreneurs maybe? Is that what you mean?
Absolutely. We're talking but not just relegated to the small business. We're talking about
which are
just, you know, incubation means any business. So I have a photography company, I have a transcription company, which may be, you know, small, 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 people, or it could be somebody opens up a franchise, they have 10, 20 people, or something much larger, up to 100. Incubation doesn't care what egg it hatches. The key thing is that we all are able to create revenue streams that can help support our families. So not only is it small businesses, which we all started as,
yeah.
it's those who are in moderate size as well.
Oh, okay.
All right. All right, I understand what you're saying. Thank you for that. Do you also instruct or teach in colleges or universities in Georgia?
I do. Currently, I am an instructor at Georgia State University, and Georgia State is the third largest university in Georgia behind the University of Georgia and Georgia Tech. And it is an urban school, and it has a high concentration of minorities. And as a matter of fact, it's the largest producer of minority graduates more than our entire AU system that includes Morehouse, Spelman, and some of the other Clark Atlanta University. And so it prides itself on giving people a second chance. It has a high population of people who work during the day and go to school during the night. And so I tend to spend a lot of time teaching classes to people who have full-time jobs.
Oh, okay. I was going to say I had a cousin who was president of Tuskegee University in Alabama. So,
yes.
Yeah. So that's very interesting.
And if I may extend a little bit further, and I didn't really say, but the classes I teach, which are very beneficial, is I teach a statistic class, which is, business statistics, which it's not difficult. It's not like most people might remember back in the day. It's more business-oriented, in God we trust, all others have to bring data. But the other two classes I teach is entrepreneurship, which, of course, shouldn't surprise you, and I teach a corporate strategy class. And in that class, I speak to the graduating seniors. So I'm that guy that, in order to graduate, you've got to go through this final class. It's a capstone class. And so I pride myself on being able to get in front of these, ready-to-graduate seniors and being able to, share with them what life is really about. This is what we haven't taught you over the past 4 to 5 years. Get ready for this. And so that's a very rewarding career for me.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you're a very busy man. You are definitely busy. You are obviously a compassionate person, a compassionate man. You are a board member of a homeless prevention center. Are there any other organizations that you work on?
I tend to, you mentioned it, my time gets consumed. In other words,
as
an elected official, I have citizens who have my personal cell number, my home number. I mean, you have to be accessible. If I get a call at 3:00 in the morning because somebody's house burns down, I have to make a decision where I'm going to go out there and stand with them to help them, just give them support, but also help them take advantage of resources that may be available to them that at that moment they can't think, especially if they don't have a support mechanism around them. But beyond, being very busy, I have to pick and choose what I get involved in. And as you can see, housing is important to me.
Yes.
And if there's some kind of way we can prevent homelessness, or if we can give you a better mortgage product, or if I can educate you on being entrepreneurial-minded, then I've accomplished my goal. I am involved with, like I mentioned earlier, I have a condition of glaucoma, which is hereditary, which is not a bad thing. So anything relating to blindness, I tend to get behind. And all I try to do, Angela, is just provide a platform for it. In addition to my mother, she has lupus. And so, of course, I use this platform to advance on that behalf as well to just bring attention to it. So those are probably the three main things I get involved in, personally.
All right. And like I said, you're a very busy man and you're a compassionate man. I can tell by the type of it's not exactly volunteer work, but the outside organizations that you're involved in, that you care. And you seem to have, and I believe you have, a love for people.
Yeah,
so
the
lady who told you to run for office hit it right on the nail when she said you really need to consider running for this office, and I see why you are in your second term. Okay. Go ahead and talk.
No, it was, again, it's funny how you need people. And it was, it's a common thread, and you're picking up on it, that I listen to people. And
yeah.
I'm okay with somebody speaking into my life that maybe seeing something that I can't appreciate at the moment, and I allow it to germinate in me. But likewise, I return that to other people. In other words,
yeah.
I try to speak positive, speak life, to sort of because I was so fortunate in the sense mm-hmm. that people took time to help me. I have no choice but to help people.
Okay. You're very blessed. I read that you were writing a book. What is your book about? Do you want to share that with me and my listeners?
No problem with sharing. You know, we all have probably a book, right, in us. Our life journey is pretty much a book. But I am writing a book. I'm a year behind because I got behind last year because of the campaign, of course. A campaign is very consuming.
Yes.
So I'm hopefully we'll be finished with it over the next, the end of the year. And really it's about a journey of entrepreneurism that I was able to go down and all the highs and lows and what it really means to bring something to the marketplace and how to think. So it is, again, an extension of everything I've talked about to this point, but just putting it in a place where people can take advantage of it. You know, it'll live on beyond me.
Okay, yes, and I believe that. All right, and you definitely believe in entrepreneurship. And not necessarily entrepreneurship, but people developing, I believe, as you put it, other ways of making money and taking care
mm-hmm.
of their families.
Yes, absolutely. If I can share on that right there, you know, I've got two sons, a 13-year-old and a 16-year-old. They're my, you know, what I call my king and my priest. But one of the
okay.
things I didn't do with them is I didn't give them an allowance. Not once
oh, okay.
in all their lives have I given them allowance. And what I taught them was to go out and, you know, we all had our paper routes or, you know, go knock on people's doors and take out trash. So I taught them not to be fixed in their thinking on allowance, which is fixed. You know, every week I'll give you $10, right, for your chores.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, that's your reasonable service is to do chores. But what I taught them was to take advantage of your gifts. And I have to share this with you. You maybe appreciate this. My youngest comes in the house with a wad full of money. And I'm like, well, what happened? And I called
okay.
the teacher, and you know, and she says, well, it was legitimate, but you need to talk to him. And I said, so, son, you know, what are you doing? I mean, he's a little Slim Jim, and he's got a pocket full of money. I'm like, where'd you get this money? And first I'm thinking negative, like, you know, just
okay.
as a parent would, right? And he
mm-hmm.
says, well, Dad, you remember when I was over at your house and you taught us how to make the little paper footballs that we, you know, used to hit across the table when you were in school. And I don't know if you remember that. We used to make the little, you know, triangle footballs and slap them across the table. Well,
mm-hmm.
he did the same thing, and he sold them to school. I said, you made $147 for, you know, selling them $1 a time? He said, no, Dad, I had repeat customers. And I
oh.
bust out laughing because, see, I mean, at this time, this was 2 years ago, this was an 11-year-old. And he understood that he can make money, and he says nobody could make paper footballs like he could, and he sold a product, and it was legitimate, and, you know, he became the entrepreneur that I, you know, had seeded him to become. So I get a kick out of telling that story because he gets it. He gets it.
Okay. All right. I find that not necessarily so much funny as I find it ethnic. Hard work. He learned the value of working for money legally.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes. That's wonderful. You're a very good role model. So you're a family man. Okay.
Yes.
Would you like to talk? Go ahead.
No. You know, it's family man, and it's one of those where, you know, in spite of, you know, sort of being divorced, I'm still a family man because I pride myself on sort of the whole co-parenting model. In other words, I've got to break this generational curse of absentee fathers. And I have to see my sons every other weekend. And I can see them every week. They drop them off. I don't care. They got a key. And that's important, Angela, in today's time.
Okay.
Because the system is just so, it's against minority males. And I mean, it's a truth. And so
okay.
they've got to be able to have access to their dad. And I have to have access to them. And I'm almost done with my oldest. I mean, 2 years, he's on his own, you know, where I moved from being a daily manager over his life to just being an advisor. You know, call me when you got an issue. But I think it's important that that's why I do what I do. It's not for my citizens abroad or all of my students that I teach or any of my clients. It's about my two sons. If I take care of them too, the rest will take care of itself. So that's it.
Yes, I understand that. You love your children. They're very important to you. And you take fatherhood very seriously and responsibly, like God intended. Even though you are a divorced man, you realize that you're still a parent. And
right.
you are right. Minority young men are, well, they're being hurt. The system is against them, but they're also against black females. I'll say that. I think most of my listeners know what I'm talking about when I say they're against black females also. But that's something that's not talked about a lot. But this is not the show for that. All right. Would you like to talk about the transportation problem with Marta? I mean, I know you don't have necessarily have the Marta there from my understanding of what you've said, but do you have any input on the Marta, the transportation system there in Atlanta?
Well, it's funny. As a matter of fact, we are part of the Atlanta metropolitan area, which is roughly 9 core counties. And the MARTA system is the primary, you know, train system and public transportation for, you know, Atlanta and, DeKalb and Fullerton County. We're right next door to Atlanta, literally the Chattahoochee River that we always hear about, the main water supply, you know, through these states along here.
Yes, it's about an hour from me.
Yes, yes. I mean, we're right there. And one of the things is that, you know, we're a county that doesn't want to become, you know, they like their sort of that rural suburban feel. And so, you know, they feel as though that if we, some of the population, not all, has a belief, and primarily those who grew up in Douglas County, doesn't want public transportation to reach out there for whatever negatives that they think that it would bring.
Oh.
But at the same point, the reverse is, you know, you have a drag on the system when people can't get to work. And where jobs are, you got to go, you know, an hour to get to work. And so you got to solve that problem. And so I'm advocating as much as I can. I participate on what's called a Transportation and Economic Development Committee for the Association of County Commissioners. And that's all the 159 counties in Georgia have an association that we belong to, and I'm on a committee to help try to come up with other solutions on how we can sort of solve this problem, even if it's a dedicated bus that'll get you to the train. If you can't afford to bring the train out here right now because it's so expensive, at least get a bus that'll take you to the train. I mean, how hard is that? And in that way, you can at least extend the mobility to people who really, really need it. So for what it's worth, we'll see how that turns out over the next couple of years.
Okay, that sounds smart. That sounds smart. So even though they may not have the funding to bring the entire MARTA to Douglas County, buses are a bus.
That's correct.
Right.
Just one more route, right? We just need one bus route from, maybe a main area, and it has about 4 or 5 stops along each exit, right, to get you to the train station. It can be done. And what I've learned in politics, there's money there and things can be done. It's just the will of those who are in power. Do they care about this being an issue? And that's really what it comes down to. And so you have to, fight for it. You have to fight for
it. Yes, I understand what you're doing now with the MARTA, okay? Have complete understanding. I'm sure my listeners do too. We're going to take another break. Then we're going to come back and finish up this interview with Mr. Commissioner Callie Robinson. Listeners, we're going to take a few minutes break, and then we're coming back to finish up the interview.
A special event can be very challenging and stressful at times. Our staff of professionals organizes your event down to every last detail, no matter what size. Our creativity and attention to detail turns your ordinary party into an extraordinary event. And Decline provides world-class service. We coordinate quality events. We can provide travel arrangements, accommodations, event sites, caterers, florists, photographers, transportation, hairstylists and makeup artists, daily itineraries, and pre-event information such as detailed maps, save-the-date cards, and invitations. Being a custom event planner means that we cater to you. It is our job to find the best possible way to present your event. We have been referred to as Dreamweavers.
When you're searching for the latest news on entertainment, the economy, business, technology, and creative arts, choose
the Digital Conglomerate Magazine.
Not only do they give you all the latest information, but they're there for you 24/7, baby, giving you the 411 and all you need to know, baby. Visit the Digital Conglomerate Magazine online. Just Google us, baby. We're everywhere.
Exquisite Express Incorporated specializes in designing signature solutions to help attract more business. Their creative designs through their associate company, Exquisite Designs, give everyday people insight on the latest fashion, food specialties, technology gadgets, and entertainment. Exquisite Designs also provides barista services through Exquisite Barista. You can read all about what they are doing in their digital and print magazine, Exquisite Fusion. Feel free to give us a call, 1-855-379-2540. 1-855-379-2540.
All right, listeners, you're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. We have on Show Talk today Commissioner Kelly Robinson. He is Commissioner of Douglas County, which is District 2 in Georgia. Commissioner Robinson, if you could change one thing in life, what would it be?
Ooh, that's a tough question. I mean, you know, life has many, many issues, right?
Yes.
You know, about my life or just life in general?
Life about the world in general and life in general. The world. If you could change one thing that's perhaps wrong with the world, what would it be?
I would say there is still a lack of openness that exists between cultures here. I don't want to say just America, right? Because that's where I've got most of my context. I can't speak to the rest of the other countries on this earth. But if you talk about just the United States, I think we still have a long way to go as it relates to working amongst ourselves. Some of the things that have happened recently it still shows there's a lot of hypocrisy. There's a lot of issues that exist within our government and how it's executed, not at sort of the national level alone, but even at our state and our local levels where, you know, we didn't I can tell you, being an insider, you know, there are issues. And I think if we would become more honest with each other and treat everybody fairly, that it's not a disadvantage by treating everybody fairly, I think we'll go a long way with becoming a better place.
Okay. All right. If you could talk to a teenager, our teenagers of today, what would you tell them that the most valuable lesson you've learned that will help them throughout their lives?
Well, again, I've got to go into my own world. You've got to practice what you preach. And so as I tell my two teenage sons, you know, an eighth grader and an 11th grader, I tell them this, the greatest thing I can teach you is the discipline of study. And the reason I say the discipline of study or just learning in general is when I was the first generation to go off to college. It doesn't matter. Everybody won't go off to college, and it's not that it's necessary. The point of college is to teach you how to learn. But when I went to college, I went to a primarily, you know, non-minority school, you know, and it didn't teach me how to survive. I had the long route of getting through it and learning how to study. Once I figured it out, then I was able to go through graduate school quite easily and was very successful at it. But what I learned about staying up late at night, Angela, was about the discipline of study. So when I go into these debates with people who were 20, 30 years my senior, I have to have my A game on. I have to have done my homework. And so for any teenager right now, as you go through school, it's about learning something. And you're going to apply that whether you're in sports, whether you're in medicine, whether you have your own business, whatever you choose to go do, you've got to learn how to study and how to apply what you've learned. And so if I could give you anything, that's it. It goes without saying stay out of trouble. But I've got to give you an alternative to staying out of trouble, which is if you study, you, to your point, Angela, there's more ethical ways in which to make it.
Yes.
To be a player, to be whatever you want to choose as being sort of your icon for who yourself is, there's a better path. And the path to that is just simply how to study, how to read the audience, how to read the competition. I mean, a lot of the males out there, the teenagers, know how to play sports. What happens if the play breaks down at the line of scrimmage? Well, you got to call an audible. Well, how do you call an audible? Well, you have got to study the plays to know what to do at that moment of time. So the teenagers are smarter than we give them credit for. I mean, they're very bright. It's just being able to help them understand how to apply what they already know.
Okay. So you, too, realize that the teenagers are very bright in today's age, in today's time period, and in 2000 and here in 2013. I realize it, too. But there's other problems that from the outside that are coming in at the teenagers, not just peer pressure from the peers, but from media, from other adults. I mean, it's hard. They're intelligent, but it's like there's a push to confuse them and to make them go astray.
That's right.
That's the way I see it.
Right.
I may be wrong, but that's the way I see it. It's like they're trying to make the go astray and confuse them, especially the minority youth.
And yeah. I can't disagree with that. You know, as a man, think of so is he. And so to your point, when you have all this bombardment of these false images, it does have an influence. But at the end of the day, we still have to make our choices.
Yes,
right.
Everybody does
and
have choices.
Right. At the end of the day, at some point you grow up where you begin to know the difference between right or wrong or whether to go to the left or the right. And so we've got to fight back. And I think that's, if I can leave you with anything, it's, okay, I don't like what I'm experiencing. If I don't like what I see, then what am I going to do about it? See, it's time out for complaining. At this time, we know that we're, you know, the system is set against us. But there is a window opening now. There are breakthroughs that have happened in American society. The question are we willing to get off the sidelines and get active in making a difference? And that's why I ran for office, Angela. That's it. I'm not going to be in politics for all my life, but it's like, okay, as opposed to complaining about the system, I decide to get involved and make the difference to the people in my immediate community, and then I'm done. And then the next person will come along behind me, and the next one, and then we'll begin to make the change.
Yes, so. I understand what you're saying. Okay, well, I agree with everything you just said, and everybody does have choices because God gave everybody free will. So we do have choices. I agree with you. Okay, well, Commissioner Kelly Robinson, thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. It's been a pleasure interviewing you. I've learned a lot, and I'm sure my listeners have too. And you're invited back at any time.
It has been a pleasure. It's been a long time in coming, and I'm glad I was able
yes,
to be on the
show. Yes, it has
Thank
been.
You.
I've been asking for
yes.
how many years?
We're here now, so I thank you for the invitation to come back on. If the listeners say I'll come back, then I'll come back.
All right, and I will tell you. I will tell you about the listeners and everything, the statistics and all that, because I know that I have a lot of listeners for this show, because I'm going to re-air it, this show at 7 p.m. today, Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Time, here today, listeners, this Friday, today, Friday. All right, Commissioner Kelly Robinson, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you all.
All right. You're more than welcome. All right, listeners, as you heard, you've been listening to Commissioner Kelly Robinson. He is the commissioner for Douglas County District 2. And he had some very informative information about Martha and what he's doing for Douglas County and finances, the financial intelligence he's brought to Douglas County. Because it's like you said, you want a DA that knows about law, so you want a county commissioner that knows, you want somebody in office who knows something about money. And like you said, he spent 15 or 16 years as a banker. So listeners, that was a great interview, I feel. Applauding myself. You've been listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. I thank you all. Have a blessed day and a fun weekend. Thank you.